Well, welcome. It's January 15th, 2024. Oh my goodness, it's the 100th anniversary of the birth of my late wife, Anne. I just realized. Exactly 100 years since her birth, and she died in 2016, of the Common Era, just 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and some months. In November, on the 19th day of the month, is when she died. She died of old age, and she had a very strong will to live. She had a very, very great desire to live. And so it was very sad to watch her degenerate. And we all die, typically, if we don't die of a sudden accident, we die of what we eat. And the drugs we take, if we take any drugs, which God forbid we should take drugs, but the things we eat is why we die, because we don't get the right nutrients. That's why we degenerate. And she was degenerating, and I didn't know enough then about, I know considerably more now about vitamins, minerals, and all the nutrients I've learned, but it's difficult to learn these things. And she passed away. She still has the hope of a resurrection, of course. Now, as for our study, it's interesting today. We have the final paragraph of the C-cubed chapter 4 article. The chapter 4 of the C-cubed article, Crucible of Credible Creed, paragraph 12, is the final paragraph of the chapter 4. We'll be finishing chapter 4, so that's exciting. But the other thing that's exciting is it's an analogy here. It says, as we progress in learnedness, I want to make an analogy to this, facts, as we progress, appear to be less and less reliable. As we progress. Because new facts continue to be discovered every day. And what is bad is discarded in favor of this, the new facts. The new facts cause the old facts to be discarded. And I mean, it's really exciting how technology these days is developing so quickly. But the problem with it is, what do you buy? You know, and I mean, I've faced the problem before. It's not something we need to worry about, because at least I don't feel that. I feel like God delivers us. Jehovah delivers us. He delivered me. He rescued me. When I needed a new computer, the Apple Silicon M1 chip was produced right when I needed a new computer. I bought it. It got rave reviews before I bought it. But it sounded so correct, you know, so right for me that I bought it immediately, without really being too concerned about how long it will last. But I don't know how long it's going to last, but my previous computers lasted 10 years, so they were both iMacs from 2011. So I bought another Mac now, but the thing is, it's possible that some new technology will come along that will just be the right thing at the right time, and just when we need a new car or whatever we need. I'm always pursuing research on technology. Every single day I'm researching it. And I'm aware of this fact that the facts are not reliable, is the real fact. You can't trust any of these new technologies to be the upcoming technology. You can't trust it. You have to, if you're interested in doing the research, you have to do a lot of research. Or you have to just trust that whatever you choose will be the right product, that it won't be completely useless, and it won't break on you, and you won't be stuck with, you know, continuing to have to learn new technologies all the time. Each of us may continue to see, in our article, how Pharaoh Thutmose I does play the role of the very bad king who was drowned. Even though the facts may change, I'm saying we may continue to see how he does play that role of the king who drowned in the Exodus. It's possible that even though the facts may continue to change, he may still remain to be as being, or remain the Pharaoh of the Exodus. But that would only be if we chose the right king, and only if the facts don't trick us in the future. And, you know, or, you know, if he is the right king, that is, and the facts trick us into thinking that he's not the king of the Exodus, then we have to be aware of that possibility also. But in the meantime, Israel left Egypt in 1493 BCE in our chronology, Jehovah's genealogy, under, we call it the Blessed Genealogy, BG for short. It's got the acronym BG, which gives it the names Beg, Bag, Bug, Big, and Bog. It has all those words associated with the acronym BG. And when Israel left Egypt in 1493 BCE under Moses, it was under Moses and under Aaron, and they walked to Canaan, and they lived happily ever after. That's the end of that paragraph and the end of our study in the C-Cubed article for today. That was the end of chapter 4 of the Crucible article. And our reading for today, we're going to read Revelation 15, and that's interesting. We've got Proverbs. Let's just pick a proverb. What about 18 and 7? Does that work? Let me see. Yeah, it does work. Okay. So, the mouth of the stupid little children is the ruin of him, the stupid one, and his lips are a snare for his soul. Very profound warning about speaking too much, I suppose, is what that's about, right? But also about speaking about things that are stupid, or talking stupidly, or saying stupid things. That is a snare for our very life. We lose our life if we talk the wrong way, is potentially what that's talking about. A very real possibility about what can happen is we can lose our life because we spoke unwisely. So that's a warning. 1 Kings 21. And it came about after these things that there was a vineyard that happened to belong to Naboth the Jezreelite, which was in Jezreel, beside the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. You know, Ahab was a very wicked king. He was the king of Israel. And his capital was in Samaria. So, Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Do give me your vineyard, that it may serve as a garden of vegetables to me, for it is close by my house. And let me give you in place of it a vineyard better than it. Or, if it is good in your eyes, I will give you money as the price of this." But Naboth said to Ahab, "It is unthinkable on my part, from Jehovah's standpoint, for me to give the hereditary possession of my forefathers to you." Consequently, Ahab came into his house sullen and dejected over the word that Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, when he said, "I shall not give you the hereditary possession of my forefathers." Then he lay down upon his couch and kept his face turned, and he did not eat bread. Finally, Jezebel his wife came into him and spoke to him, "Why is it that your spirit is sad, and you are not eating bread?" At that he spoke to her, "Because I proceeded to speak to Naboth the Jezreelite and say to him, 'You give me your vineyard for money, or if you prefer, let me give you another vineyard in place of it.' But he said, 'I shall not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel his wife said to him, 'Is it you that now exercise the kingship over Israel? Rise up, eat bread, and let your heart be merry. I myself shall give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' Accordingly, she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the older men and the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. But she wrote in the letters, saying, 'Proclaim a fast, and have Naboth sit at the head of the people, and make two men, good-for-nothing fellows, sit in front of him, and let them bear witness against him, saying, "You have cursed God and the king," and bring him out and stone him, that he may die." So the men of his city the older men and the nobles that were dwelling in his city did just as Jezebel had sent to them. Of course, she had sent in the name of the king. It was the king telling them. So they did what the king was saying, just as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and had Naboth sit at the head of the people. Then two of the men, good-for-nothing fellows, came in and sat down in front of him. You see, that's where we need to be wise enough to know that even if the king tells us to do something, if it's wrong what he's telling us to do, then we have to refuse to do it if we know it's wrong. If it's against what Jehovah says, such as killing an innocent man or something that's wrong, anything that's wrong, that is against Jehovah's law. Then two of the men, good-for-nothing fellows, came in and sat down in front of Naboth, and the good-for-nothing men began to bear witness against him, that is Naboth, in front of the people, saying, Naboth has cursed God and the king. Well, he didn't do that, but that's what they said. After that, they brought him out to the outskirts of the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. That's just mortifyingly repulsive what they did. They now sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth has been stoned so that he is dead. It's just, it's so shocking. It makes the blood, you know, what do we say about that? Boil, or the toes curl, or the, it makes, it brings up a lot of bad thoughts and a lot of negative grief and a lot of bad thoughts. And it came about that as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned so that he died, Jezebel immediately said to Ahab, rise up, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is no longer alive but dead. So Jezebel was murderous, right? O-U-S, murderous. And it came about that as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab at once rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. So Ahab was in cahoots with his wife, Jezebel. He cooperated with her, and he was therefore just as guilty as she was. Complicit, that's the word. And Jehovah's word came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, rise up, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who is in Samaria. This is to Elijah, Jehovah spoke. Imagine Jehovah knew this. You see, Jehovah knew that all of these things had happened, and he told Elijah, rise up, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who is in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. It doesn't say whether it was an angel or whether any other human brought the message to Elijah, but, and you must speak to him, saying, this is what Jehovah has said, have you murdered and also taken possession? It's just disgusting. It's just abhorrent, repulsive. It's horrific, mortifying, is it not? And you must speak to him, saying, this is what Jehovah has said. In the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours. And Ahab proceeded to say to Elijah, have you found me, O enemy of mine? To which he said, I have found you, for the reason that you have sold yourself to do what is bad in the eyes of Jehovah. Here, I am bringing calamity upon you, and I shall certainly make a clean sweep after you and cut off from Ahab anyone urinating against a wall, which means male, members of his family, and the helpless and worthless one in Israel. And I shall certainly constitute your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the offense with which you have offended and then caused Israel to sin. And also, as regards Jezebel, Jehovah has spoken, saying, the very dogs will eat up Jezebel in the plot of land of Jezreel. Any one of Ahab's that is dying in the city, The dogs will eat up, and anyone dying in the field, the fowls of the heavens will eat up. Without exception, no one has proved to be like Ahab, who sold himself to do what was bad in the eyes of Jehovah, whom Jezebel, his wife, egged on. And he went acting very detestably by going after the dungy idols, the same as all that the Amorites had done, whom Jehovah drove out from before the sons of Israel. We know they sacrificed their children in the fire, too. We're going to see that in our reading in Ezekiel today, hopefully very soon. And it came about that as soon as Ahab heard these words, he proceeded to rip his garments apart and to put sackcloth upon his flesh. And he went on a fast and kept lying down in sackcloth and walking despondently. So that's the right response. He made the right response. He was grieving and sad about the judgment against him. And Jehovah's word came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself on my account? For the reason that he has humbled himself because of me, I shall not bring the calamity in his own days. In the days of his son, I shall bring the calamity upon his house." And we'll see how that turns out, hopefully in the upcoming days. But for now, we need to read Ezekiel chapter 23, which is today's reading. "And the word of Jehovah proceeded to come to me, saying, Son of man, two women." This is a long chapter. "The daughters of one mother there happened to be, and they began to prostitute themselves in Egypt. In their youth they committed prostitution. There their breasts were squeezed, and there they pressed the bosoms of their virginity. And their names were Oholah, the older one, and Oholibah, her sister. And they came to be mine, and began to give birth to sons and daughters." And of course it's illustration for Samaria and Jerusalem, as it goes on to say, "And as for their names, Oholah is Samaria, and Oholibah is Jerusalem." It's interesting that the older one is Samaria, because the kingdom of Israel was older, wasn't it, as a united front, but when it split off, the only faithful branch was Judah. So it would seem that Judah would be the older one, or Jerusalem would be the older one, but it's the other way around. "And Oholah began to prostitute herself while subject to me, and kept lusting after those passionately loving her, after the Assyrians who were near, governors clothed with blue material and deputy rulers, desirable young men, all of them, cavalrymen riding horses. And she continued giving forth her prostitutions upon them. The choicest sons of Assyria, all of them, and with all those after whom she lusted, with their dungy idols, she defiled herself." So, it's interesting, with their idols, she's talking about their false gods. That's what this is symbolic of. Prostitution is symbolic of worship of false gods. "And her prostitutions carried from Egypt, she did not leave. For with her they had lain down in her youth, and they were the ones that pressed the bosoms of her virginity, and they kept pouring out their immoral intercourse upon her. Therefore I gave her into the hand of those passionately loving her, into the hand of the sons of Assyria, toward whom she had lusted. They were the ones that uncovered her nakedness. Her sons and her daughters they took, and her they killed, even with the sword." So this is how there's blood involved. There's blood on the hands of those who commit adultery, is what this chapter is saying. "And she came to be infamy to women, and acts of judgment were what they executed upon her." When her sister Oholibah got to see it, this would be Judah or Jerusalem, "then she exercised her sensual desire more ruinously than she, and her prostitution more than the fornication of her sister. For the sons of Assyria she lusted, governors and deputy rulers who were near, clothed with perfect taste, cavalrymen riding horses, desirable young men, all of them. And I got to see that because she had defiled herself, both of them had one way. And she kept adding to her acts of prostitution when she got to see the men in carvings upon the wall, images of Chaldeans carved in vermilion." Thought there were two L's in vermilion. but maybe not, girded with belts on their hips, with pendant turbans on their heads, having the appearance of warriors, all of them, the likeness of the sons of Babylon, Chaldeans, as respects the land of their birth, and she began to lust after them at the sight of her eyes, and proceeded to send messengers to them in Chaldea. And the sons of Babylon kept coming into her to the bed of expressions of love, and defiling her with their immoral intercourse. And she continued getting defiled by them, and her soul began to turn away disgusted from them. And she went on, uncovering her acts of prostitution, and uncovering her nakedness, so that my soul turned away disgusted from company with her, just as my soul had turned away disgusted from company with her sister. And she kept multiplying her acts of prostitution to the point of calling to mind the days of her youth, when she prostituted herself in the land of Egypt. And she kept lusting in the style of concubines belonging to those whose fleshly member is as the fleshly member of male asses, and whose genital organ is as the genital organ of male horses. Large fleshly members, meaning penis. And you continued calling attention to the loose conduct of your youth by the pressing of your bosoms from Egypt onward for the sake of the breasts of your youth. Therefore, O Oholibah, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am rousing up your passionate lovers against you, Oholibah being Jerusalem, those passionate lovers from whom your soul has turned away in disgust, and I will bring them in against you on all sides, the sons of Babylon and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, all the sons of Assyria with them, desirable young men, governors and deputy rulers, all of them, warriors and summoned ones, riding on horses, all of them. And they must come in against you with rattling of war chariots and wheels, and with a congregation of peoples with large shield and buckler and helmet. They will set themselves against you all around, and I will give judgment over to them. They must judge you with their judgments, and I will express my ardor against you, and they must take action against you in rage. Your nose and your ears they will remove, and the remainder of you will fall even by the sword. Your sons and your daughters they themselves will take, and the remainder of you will be devoured by the fire. And they will certainly strip off you your garments and take away your beautiful articles. And I shall actually cause your loose conduct to cease from you and your prostitution carried from the land of Egypt. And you will not raise your eyes to them in Egypt. You will remember no more. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am giving you into the hand of those whom you have hated, into the hand of those from whom your soul has turned away disgusted. And they must take action against you in hatred and take away all your product of toil and leave you naked and nude in the nudeness of your acts of fornication and your loose conduct and your acts of prostitution must be uncovered. There will be a doing of these things to you because of your going like a prostitute after the nations on account of the fact that you defiled yourself with their dungy idols. In the way of your sister you have walked, and I shall have to give her cup into your hand. This is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. The cup of your sister you will drink, the deep and wide one. You will become an object of laughter and derision, the cup containing much. With drunkenness and grief you will be filled with the cup of astonishment and of desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria, and you will have to drink it and drain it out, and its earthenware fragments you will gnaw, and your breasts you will tear out, for I myself have spoken, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said, for the reason that you have forgotten me, and you proceeded to cast me behind your back, then you yourself also bear your loose conduct and your acts of prostitution. And Jehovah went on to say to me, Son of man, will you judge Ohola and Oholibah and tell them their detestable things? For they have committed adultery, and there is blood on their hands. And with their dungy idols, they have committed adultery. And besides that, their sons, whom they had borne to me, they made pass through the fire to them as food. So to the idols, the sacrifice of a young child was food for the idols in the religion of the false worship that they were practicing, which was the worship of the inhabitants of the land formerly, the Amorites and the people who lived there before. They worshipped these idol gods and they sacrificed their firstborn children, as we saw before, to these gods by passing them through the fire, burning them alive, serving as food by offering them in that way. Food for the gods. What is more, this is what they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary in that day, and my Sabbaths they have profaned. And when they had slaughtered their sons to their dungy idols, they even proceeded to come into my sanctuary on that day to profane it. And look, that is what they have done in the midst of my house. And in addition to that, when they began to send to the men coming from far away, to whom there was sent a messenger, then look, they came for whom you had washed yourself, painted your eyes, and decked yourself with ornaments. And you sat down upon a glorious couch with a table set in order before it, and my incense and my oil you put upon it, and the sound of a crowd at ease was in her, and to the men out of the mass of mankind. There were drunkards being brought in from the wilderness, and they proceeded to put bracelets on the hands of the women and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then I said, respecting her who was worn out with adultery, now she will keep on committing her prostitution, even she herself. And they kept on coming into her, just as one comes into a woman that is a prostitute. In that manner they came into Ohola and to Oholibah as women of loose conduct. But as regards righteous men, they are the ones that will judge her with the judgment for adulteresses and with the judgment for female shedders of blood. For adulteresses are what they are, and there is blood on their hands. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. There will be the bringing up of a congregation against them and a making of them a frightful object and something to plunder. And the congregation must pelt them with stones, and there will be a cutting of them down with their swords. Their sons and their daughters they will kill, and with fire their houses they will burn. And I shall certainly cause loose conduct to cease out of the land, and all the women will have to let themselves be corrected, so that they will not do according to your loose conduct. And they must bring your loose conduct upon you, and the sins of your dungy idols you will bear. And you people will have to know that I am the Sovereign Lord, Jehovah. That's the end of Ezekiel chapter 23. Try saying that three times quickly. I think that is challenging enough in the English language to read that. Certainly. It was well written, though. I think it was written in a way that makes it fairly easy to read, fortunately, compared to how it might have been. But let's do Revelation 15. Revelation 15, and this is a remarkable one where it says, I never noticed this in verse 2, where they're standing by the glassy sea. It also means, it can be translated, standing upon the glassy sea. So let's read it that way. Revelation 15, little children. And I saw in heaven, John writes, in the vision, great and wonderful, seven angels with seven plagues. These are the last ones, because by means of them the anger of God is brought to a finish. And I saw what seemed to be a glassy sea mingled with fire, and those who come off victorious from the wild beast and from its image and from the number of its name standing by the glassy sea having harps of God. And they are singing the song of Moses, the slave of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and wonderful are your works, Jehovah God the Almighty. I should have said, I didn't read this correctly. Let's read verse 2 again. And I saw what seemed to be a glassy sea mingled with fire. This chapter is very short. And those who come off victorious from the wild beast and from its image and from the number of its name, standing upon the glassy sea, having harps of God. So whether they were like walking on water as Jesus did, or whether this is just, you know, frozen water, having harps of God, and they are singing the song of Moses, the slave of God, and the Son of the Lamb, saying, great and wonderful are your works, Jehovah God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of eternity. Who will not really fear you, Jehovah, and glorify your name, because you alone are loyal. For all the nations will come and worship before you, because your righteous decrees have been made manifest. And after these things I saw, and the sanctuary of the tent of the witness was opened in heaven, and the seven angels with the seven plagues emerged from the sanctuary, clothed with clean, bright linen, and girded about their breasts with golden girdles. And one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls that were full of the anger of God, who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary became filled with smoke because of the glory of God and because of his power, and no one was able to enter into the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. That concludes our Bible reading for today. But this is a whole new way of reading it for me, imagining these victorious ones who were faithful and came off victorious from the wild beast. They were slaves of Jehovah and of his Christ. You know, they served Jehovah, and they died victorious and ended up in heaven, and they're standing upon the glassy sea singing with their harps. I never noticed that footnote before, where it says standing by can also be upon. It says standing upon the glassy sea. So anyway, what time do we have? A couple, 1 minute and a half, 1.5 minutes, roughly. So the time worked out to be adequate, I guess, today as well, but because we're not in a big rush at the end. So many things about the new technology that are it's not frightening. It's frightening if you just, you know, sit back and let things happen. But if you do research, try to find out what's wrong with each technology, because every technology is different. Some of them catch fire. Some of the electric batteries in the new cars, they catch fire more easily than others. And then some of them don't have good performance in cold weather. Other ones don't have the high enough high energy density, so their range is reduced, so they can't drive as far without needing recharging. Every different battery type has a different type of limitation. And the new blade batteries that were produced by BYD, I think it was, BYD, but whoever it was, the blade batteries, you could drive nails into the batteries and they wouldn't catch fire, but the other batteries that were just lithium batteries were catching fire. And even the iron phosphate batteries that are supposed to be better in that regard, they still catch fire, but, you know, to a lesser degree. But, hopefully they'll come up with sodium batteries. Apparently don't catch fire, but they don't have as high an ability to store energy. So January 15th it is, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 20:38 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. This is Gully. And this is Cassie saying in my behalf, bye for now.